Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen. Moon, we got a win to talk about, so everything's a lot happier around Hallis Hall. But we still have a quarterback to talk about, a quarterback that has a lot more questions about him than answers right now. I know we don't want to keep going at this from the same angle of, you know, when is Mitch Trubisky going to be good? Is he good? All these things. But I do want to kind of start with this question, Moon. What is sort of a fair expectation of how quickly Trubisky can pick up this offense? I mean, because we've heard for months now, and now especially into the season, about how Trubisky and this offense are kind of a work in progress, how it's going to take time. But we have seen around the league certain quarterbacks where it hasn't taken as much time. Is it fair to say, well, you know, for Mitch, it's going to take him a season to learn this offense, and while he's doing that, there are going to be some growing pains? Or is that not even really a thing? You kind of touched on this in a column over the weekend before the game on Monday, where, you know, you're kind of saying you are what your rating is and what your win total is. So, you know, what is kind of fair in that regard for Trubisky this year?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, JJ, to me, that and this is a mantra with teams, with individuals, coaches, whatever, is you want to see, well, two things, actually: progress and also consistency. So if I'm saying, okay, well, you know, we saw Pat, not to compare him to Mahomes, but Mahomes went in and ran essentially a very similar offense, obviously the Kansas City offense, pretty well. So I think the expectation should be increasing consistency of play. In other words, there shouldn't be wild swings of, you know, three pick game and then a three touchdown game and so forth, or, you know, from series to series, where there needs to be some consistent rhythm, which the rest of the team is going to pick up from him. The thing that I think I haven't seen, and we shouldn't expect him to be a finished product. I mean, obviously everybody keeps getting better. Veterans will talk about getting better each and every day and so forth. But the thing that I've felt has been missing, I haven't seen flash. I'm not sure I have seen wow often enough out of 10. And that should, I think it should be surfacing at times. Even, you know, this is a second pick in the draft and somebody that the Bears traded up to get. I think you should be, after 14 games, there should be a few more wow moments than we've seen. Again, I don't mean to be negative about him, but you know, very often you can tell early on with a player, not how, if he's obviously not ever going to be finished, or no player likes to think of himself as finished growing, but, you know, there's an occasional, okay, pretty good pass, but I haven't seen enough wow in 14 games, or again, I'm taking the body of work, not just this year. So I need to see some flash. You know, the funny part, I just happened to be looking, the Miami Dolphins with Tannehill and a couple of former Bears coaches have exactly the same number of points as Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. Those coaches obviously would be Adam Gase and one Dowell Loggins. So, hey, you know, I'm not sure what that means. It means absolutely nothing, but it's always fun to throw out meaningless early season statistics. But no, I want to see some flash. I need to see special. And I think after what you have, consistency, and then I want to see some special, because that's what the Bears thought they were getting with him.
Hey, Ryan Tannehill's got a passer rating of 104.9 right now. Mm-hmm. But all kind of, oh, you know, it's under Dahl Loggins, kidding around, joking around aside. I actually was looking at Ryan Tannehill earlier today because he was a guy who only started 13 games at Texas A&M, like Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. Came into the league as a rookie. He did start all 16 games for the Dolphins that year. His passer rating that year was 76.1, so pretty close to what Mitch was
pretty
last
close.
Year.
Right.
His passer rating his second year, 81.7. My God, he took 58 sacks that year. That's rough. But, you know, as a guy who it took Ryan Tannehill a little while to kind of get going in the NFL. It was year three, his passer rating went up to 92.8. Then it was 88.7, then 93.5 in 2016 when he was he was leading the Dolphins to the playoffs before he got hurt. I think that, you know, the instant success of Mahomes, Goff, Wentz, even Deshaun Watson last year, that kind of, you know, as a backdrop to them saying, well, Trubisky needs time, I think the really recent returns on that is that, well, you know, maybe quarterbacks don't need time, but over the course of NFL history, and really even if you look at the last maybe 7 or 8 years since the rookie wage scale kind of came into be, most quarterbacks need time. It's not just an instant, they're great type deal. And, you know, I don't think anyone in Chicago is going to be too excited if Mitch Trubisky turns out to be Ryan Tannehill, but you figure their defense probably also has more guys on it to, you know, if you do get Ryan Tannehill 2.0, to win more than 8 games a year like Ryan Tannehill pretty much has done his entire career.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, there will always be, you hope, will always be some growth and progress, and a player rarely is, as a rookie, what he's going to be in his second or third year. But I go back to the big picture, you know, for example, on how often people say, well, you need 3 years to evaluate a draft. I have never quite subscribed. You need it may need that long to get all of your final evaluations in, but you didn't need 3 years to know that Shea McClellan was not Clay Matthews. you didn't need that to know that quickly with, you know, Cade McNown was not Ken Stabler coming in. You know, you should be able to see those things, and that's getting back to what you want to see. There were signs of that with Tannehill, and the funny part was you've got a good parallel there because, you know, he took off and went to another little bit of different level when he got a better coach, or, you know, Adam Gase, which is interesting because one of the preaching points with Gase was what I think he got the best out of Jay Cutler was preaching ball security. He did an extensive bunch of background phone calling to his former coaches and what made him tick, and they realized that, you know, he wasn't a great decision maker, but they cut down on decisions and made him focus on ball security. He had the best year of his career. So that difference can happen. It should. You would expect it to happen with Trubisky getting a coaching staff that really is a little more high-powered than Loggins. Although, like I said, Miami's getting something out of Tannehill, and it's coming from Adam Gase and Dell Loggins, ironically.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people listening might be shouting into their cars or right now that the difference is Adam Gase versus John Fox. But you know, I do think that what the Bears have going forward, just as it relates to the 2018 season, look, if Mitch Trubisky is a work in progress and this offense is up and down and maybe he doesn't flash as much as anyone really, you know, would expect or want around these parts, that game against Seattle, you can look at as a blueprint of how you can win games right now, and it's with... It's not just Khalil Mack. It is a full defensive performance. I mean, Danny Trevathan was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Year this week. The week. He was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. I'm not saying he's going to be named of the year. That would be ludicrous. But, look, it was everyone. And he said it in the locker room today on Wednesday that you could have given that award to anyone on that defense, pretty much. You know, Prince Mukamara, Khalil Mack, any of these guys. I think that is where... You look at this defense, and you know we questioned it when the Bears got Khalil Mack of, well, he couldn't make that Raiders defense really any good. And Vic Fangio even brought it up. But you're seeing right now that this is a complete defense, especially in the front seven, that is good enough to be among the best, if not one of the best, maybe the best, who knows, in the NFL. If you're really kind of shooting high with this group, they're just a complete unit in a way that we haven't really seen since kind of the height of the Urlacher era, maybe.
Well, and what I really think is impressive about that group, and switching over to that side of the ball for just in the context here, you know, they've got 10, they lead the NFL with the 10 sacks, and those sacks have come from 8 different players.
Yep.
And when I looked, pulled the camera back and looked, they weren't just 8 different players. They have gotten sacks from 8 different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of the front 7, you know, are not the same guys. And that's what I think makes them look really menacing. Who do you block? It means that pressure can come from anywhere. And I almost go back to my Richard Dent rule of 3. If you're going to have a great defense, you've got to have 3 guys who can rush the passer. Well, the Bears are looking like they've got maybe 6.
Yeah.
Which is ironic. Wasn't it, JJ, when we were talking early in the season, I think a lot early in the offseason, the consensus was, you know, pass rush is a question mark. So what they've done, which is ironic, not ironic, but interesting in the bigger picture, they built, you know, between Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks, you've got some space eaters in the middle, mm-hmm. and now they've added a lot of edge speed at the second level, too. I mean, we've seen inside, Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan with sacks, mm-hmm. 2 inside linebackers with sacks, 2 outside linebackers with sacks with, you know, Mack and Lynch,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got even sacks from your jumbo guys.
Yep.
So they're capable of bringing something from everywhere, which really translates into an incredibly difficult film breakdown, if you want to call it, or you know, how do you prepare for the Bears?
Yeah.
It would be if it's just Khalil Mack, great. You know, we can triple him.
Mm-hmm.
We can do something. We can at least slow him down. But now, if you do that, you have what happened against Seattle, and you have a Mukamara with a pick. You're going to see what I think you're going to see out of the Bears, especially going against someone like the Cardinals, is I would look for a couple of short fields with turnovers to
yeah.
give the ball, you know, in maybe even plus territory. So and then you can see Trubisky start to maybe loosen up. It won't be, I won't say tense,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I think that all that goes together to it takes a village. And if the defense can make the quarterback better, that's so much the better for everybody.
I think that's what we're seeing. And what as you're kind of talking there, I was thinking back to, you know, our concerns about the pass rush before the season. And it was, yeah, well, okay, they were 7th in sacks last year, but look how many they lost. You know, you lost a couple from Pernell McPhee, a couple from Christian Jones, you know,
well,
Mitch Unright.
They lost a third of their sacks.
Yeah.
They literally,
but,
14 of the sacks are gone.
But, you know, you look at that team last year, and they were 7th in sacks, and they didn't have, like, an elite pass rusher who you could point to and say, that's your guy. Vic Fangio succeeded in making the collective a good pass rush. That is what we're seeing this year, except now you have an elite pass rusher in Khalil Mack, and the Bears are leading the league in sacks after 2 games, and they haven't really shown any signs of that slowing down. So I think this is kind of, if you're looking at the evolution of Vic Fangio's defense and all the things we heard about, oh, you know, we want to be a top 5 defense this year, this is how you do it. You keep it the same way that you've kind of done things, of making it a collective thing. Bryce Callahan had some good pass rushes against Seattle. We saw Sherrick McManus get in there, even though he didn't hit home.
Eddie Jackson
got his first sack since his sophomore year at Alabama.
Yeah, there's fewer positions that don't have sacks. The only thing is, I mean, it's great that it's working out. I think the formula is look around and see who's willing to trade one of the best defensive players in the league. So, yeah, I'm not sure this is a template everybody can use, but the Bears took advantage of it, and hats off to Ryan Pace for getting that guy.
Yeah, I guess no one can use it until, what, like 5 years from now when John Gruden uses one of those first-round picks on another
exactly.
elite pass rusher and trades him.
Yeah, when he gets some of those first-round draft choices and then trades them, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Under Center podcast and come back and look ahead to this game against the Arizona Cardinals. Stick with us here on NBCSportsChicago.com. All right, taking a break here and coming back in 3, 2, 1. All right, Moon and I back here on the Under Center podcast. We got the Arizona Cardinals coming up this weekend, and where to start? I'm going to start with this one, Moon. The Arizona Cardinals they've not attempted a field goal this year, not even a PAT.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad football team. They're 4 of 20 on third down. They've gained as a total, as an offense, 350 yards in 2 games. Their defense is allowing like 8.8 yards per pass attempt. this is a bad football team, and I think every team in the NFL except probably the Buffalo Bills matches up well with the Arizona Cardinals. That's kind of my first impression of them.
But this is what makes the NFL interesting. The Buffalo Bills were in the playoffs last year, and now they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Crazy.
That is how bizarre this gets. And okay, the Cardinals are epically bad right now. They also just played maybe one of the two or three best teams in the league. You're looking at, they played a defense with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. I mean, I don't know what they are. I mean, they're bad. I mean, you can't. You are what your record and your numbers say you are. But I think it would be a mistake, and I guarantee you, the Bears aren't looking. They're going to look at who that team was playing and say, "We're good, but I'm not sure we have Aaron Donald yet." I mean, as good as Akeem Hicks, but point being, they're pros, so maybe Arizona's looking at the Bears and say, "Oh, there's a game we can win." So it's funny how different perceptions can change in a really short period of time, as Buffalo's finding out. And I think Arizona may present problems that no one expects because, wow, they've only scored 6 points. And I think you picked it up at the end of last game that they only ran one play in plus territory. It was the other side of the 50, and it was the last play of the game against Los Angeles. I don't know if that's normal or, it's pretty unusual for an NFL team to be that bad over and over. So it may be that way, but there's a reason why you play badly. It's usually because the other guy made you play bad. So the Bears actually have to get, they're down. They got to step on their necks right now and early.
That being said, the Los Angeles Rams, I think, are probably your consensus best team in the NFC right now. They lost to the Cardinals lost to the Redskins in week one, and the transitive property is not, this is a disclaimer, the transitive property is not really worth a whole lot. But if you are looking at what your record is, the Redskins are 1-1, and they lost to the Colts last weekend. And the Colts are not good, and I hope my wife isn't listening to this because she is a Colts fan and will kill me. But this is an Arizona team that just, they look kind of lost in a way that NFL teams can after 2 weeks of a season and then still kind of turn it around. I mean, I made this comment to Cam Ellis for a post on NBC Sports Chicago this week. The Bears a year ago were 0-2. They just got their butts kicked by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They come home to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that's got Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and, Antonio Brown and all these guys. And the Bears won that game. The Bears beat a good Pittsburgh Steelers team. Weird stuff can happen in the NFL if you don't take a game seriously. And, I mean, the Bears are not in a position to take any opponent lightly because until further notice, they're 15-35 in the last 3 years. But, at the same time, the Cardinals are just, they just look like a team that doesn't have any idea what to do on offense. And their defense that still has some good players like Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden and Patrick Peterson, with a defensive coach, is just getting torched out there. So you look at them and you just say, maybe they can, kind of pull it out of their hat in week three, but it sure doesn't look likely.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to go 0-16. That honor, that doesn't come around often.
They're not the Arizona Browns.
I would just go the other side and say, you touched on them. There are good players, and if John Fine, every coach will tell you, it's about matchups. So how good is Chandler Jones versus Charles Leno?
Mm-hmm.
How good is Patrick Peterson? The thing that works for the Bears' advantage in this matchup is that Wilkes and the defensive staff tend to play a lot of zone, which lessens the chances so they can say, Patrick, you get inside Allen Robinson's uniform and stay there for 60 minutes and come out, and we'll see where it is. For the Bears' purposes, and yet now they can change that, but that's a defensive guy who could take, and that's Mitch Trubisky. That's a security blanket right now. 14 targets last game. You cited the example of the Bears last year. 29-7, I think. It's one of those games you kind of want to forget.
Yeah.
The Bears getting blown out in Tampa, and they just look dead. They were dead. And then they beat a playoff team. So you kind of made your own example. This is not to be taken, mostly not to be taken lightly, but they have stingers. Those bees may have a broken wing, but they can sting. And I think the unfortunate thing with the Bears, I won't say unfortunate, but a concerning thing, you cited it after the Packer game. For whatever reason, the Bears got complacent in Lambeau Field.
Yep.
Even as, you know, they may have thought, I would think they would have got uncomplacent as soon as they realized 12 was running out to actually come back on the field. So you hope that's not a thread that runs through their fabric where they tend to overlook somebody. They overlooked the Packers and paid for it. You hope they're not overlooking the Cardinals.
That's a really good point, Moon. If the Bears can get complacent at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers, then what's stopping them from getting complacent against the Arizona Cardinals?
Maybe we can be Arizona with 10 guys. Why don't you take the weekend off, Akeem? Yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea.
But you hope that
is not a character. And here's to the other point about the Bears, and I mentioned this in a little post looking at four takeaways that were not named Khalil and Mitch from the Seattle game. The Bears have given up almost all their points in the fourth quarter, 21 in Green Bay and 14 against Seattle. They can talk all they want about finishing, but they did not finish those games as strong. They won one, but they also got their great vaunted defense. Again, getting back, were they complacent? Did they take their foot off the gas against Seattle? I don't know. But you until they stop that, it's a concern.
I think, you know, 7 of those points against Seattle were on a 99-yard drive where they're playing prevent and they're just trying to run out the clock. But I think anyone in that defensive room. Well, anyone. Right.
But they didn't stop it.
Anyone in that defensive room will tell you, like, yeah, we wanted to get off the field. No one's be like, oh, it's fine. They scored a touchdown. I do think that maybe part of it is that you have a guy like Roquan Smith or a guy like Khalil Mack who still is kind of getting their conditioning under them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an excuse. And I mean, if it continues, then this great Bears defense that continues to set narratives in the first half and, you know, first three quarters of games, the narrative is going to have to flip to being, well, yeah, they actually really do need to finish. But look, I mean,